David Paulson. I'm a member of the Society for American Baseball Research. Today is September 19, 2000. I'm in the home of Gene Corbett in Salisbury, Maryland. How old are you, Mr. Corbett?
I'm 86.
And where were you born?
Winona, Minnesota. In a town in Maryland called Winona. Spelled a little different. It's an old Indian name.
Right. Uh-huh. And were you brought up there or elsewhere?
We stayed in St. Paul till my father changed jobs. We went to St. Paul, Minnesota, about the early 1930s, somewhere in there. And I'd already been 2 years in high school in Winona. So when I moved to St. Paul, I moved from a high school that had 100 kids to 3,000 kids, Central High School.
So you are a Minnesotan?
I'm a native Minnesotan, yeah.
Okay. And how did you get interested in baseball?
Well, I was a sandlot player, American League player, and so on. So I, when we moved to St. Paul, I was hooked up with one of the better amateur teams there in my age group. I was only 18 then at the time. And finished playing baseball, high school baseball there. And the next year, the Northern League opened up. The Northern League, which at that time consisted of Winnipeg and Duluth, Superior, Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Is there still a Northern League?
Oh yeah, well it's a revised Northern League. But in that though, in 1933, the minor league systems were dwindling because I signed St. Paul at that time. St. Paul was in the American Association. And they saw me playing amateur ball there, and they signed me to a contract and said, we'll take you to spring training next spring. And came time by next spring, they said, all the minor leagues are folding. We can't afford to take you to spring training. But a couple others from St. Paul signed with me. And at that time, Northern League decided to open up. They used one of the big open amateur fields in St. Paul to. I tried out. There were 17 other guys trying out for first base.
In high school, what position did you play?
I played first base.
And you're right-handed?
I'm right-handed, I batted left-handed, although I'm a natural right-handed hitter. I learned to bat left-handed.
So you're a switch hitter?
I'm a switch hitter.
Yeah. So that's all for it. Okay, in high school, was your team a champion?
No, we didn't have much of a high school program.
Right.
Not at all.
Okay. On the way over here, I was listening to Ken Burns' baseball on tape, on radio tape. He mentioned during the Depression, a lot of people wanted a job, and a lot of extra players would come out for spring training or to try to sign up. Did you run across?
200 guys tried out for St. Paul for the Winnipeg team. We had them come in as far away as Toledo in Chicago to play at $60, $70 a month. That's what we got paid those days.
Let's see. When you got went into pro ball, who signed you?
A fella by the name of with Winnipeg. I was signed by Bruno Hawes, who used to be from the Philadelphia A's. He actually started the Northern League with a guy by the name of Dick Wade from Duluth, and. That was the beginning of the Northern League in those days. Hank Aaron wound up at Eau Claire in the Northern League some years later. It was his first year in baseball. Eau Claire is a nice place to play.
Was Winnipeg associated with any farm club of anybody?
No, there were no farm clubs then. No, there really weren't.
So the owners just sold them?
Everybody was, and so if you had a player to sell, you just sold them to whoever. And I was playing for Winnipeg. In my third year, I led the league in home runs and runs batted in. And an Irishman by the name of Patsy O'Rourke was scouting for the Phillies at the time. And he came through there and made a deal with Bruno Hawes, and I was sold to the Phillies. And just like that.
Now, in 1933 was your first year with with Winnipeg in the Northern League.
That's right.
And you hit 327, and you led the league in hits, total bases, and home runs. Were you considered a power hitter in those days? I mean, and the next year, for Winnipeg, you hit 300, and the third year, you hit 335.
That's right. That was my big year.
Led the league in RBIs. Okay. So, when was it? In 36, you were went to Hazleton in the New York, Pennsylvania.
Well, I went to spring training with the Phillies, and they farmed me out to Class A Hazleton at that time, Pennsylvania.
And what league was it? The Eastern League?
It was the New York Penn League.
New York Penn League.
And played there that year, and then when that season ended, you know, around Labor Day, they called us minor leaguers in to finish the season with Philadelphia. I think I got in a few games in Philadelphia that fall.
That spring training in Florida, was that the furthest you had been from home after that time?
Riverhaven, Florida. When I got off the train in the morning, I thought I was in heaven. The orange blossom smells and all that, I thought, this is some place. Trained in Winter Haven that spring, and I think the third spring with that I was with the Phillies, we trained in Biloxi, Mississippi. That was an adventure, too.
And what position did you play?
First base. See, I was right-hand thrower.
Now, in spring training, about how many players would you estimate went down?
Well, not as many as we do now. I would imagine we had 35 or 40 players there. No more than that, right?
And who was the manager?
Jimmy Wilson, formerly of the Cardinals.
The catcher.
Okay, old catcher, that's right.
Okay. So at Hazleton, you hit over 300 again, 310.
Yeah.
And then you came up to the Phillies, I guess, towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you got into six games. Do you remember your first game?
Really don't. I remember several other games, but not that one.
Well, that first year, do you remember any? Do you remember anything special about that first year? Your impressions of playing in the big league?
I really don't remember too much about the first year. I remember going to spring training. How wonderful it seemed to get off the train after riding from St. Paul in the middle of the winter down to Florida.
How long a trip did it take about?
Well, you leave St. Paul around noon, and you get to Chicago in the early evening, and then you have an overnight train into Winter Haven. And you get there in the morning sometime.
Okay, so about a day.
Yeah.
Growing up, did you have any particular team you rooted for?
I was a Cardinal fan.
Yeah. And any players?
Jim Mottleman, the first baseman, was my hero.
He's the one that got 12 RBIs in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, he was my hero. Later, Bill Terry of the Yankees, of the Giants. And I don't know if Terry was playing first base, because I played against the Giants in my third year with the Phillies. And they had Carl Hubbell and Bill Melton, and Mel Ott was playing then. I hit a home run off Hal Schumacher one day. And those were my high spots.
Then in 37, well, you only played seven games, but you did hit 333. You had 4 for 12.
Well,
for Philadelphia.
I think one of them was the double. There was a first left-handed pitcher for the Cubs by the name of Larry French. And I hit a ground ball down the right field line. And he went over to cover first base. First baseman didn't get it, but he tried to block me from going to second base. And I bumped into him, but they awarded me second base.
Now, when you came up, who were the players on the Phillies that you?
Well, the Phillies, they had Dolph Camilli on first base, and
that was your
Walters.
That was your position.
I was his caddy, like, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Bucky Walters and Jimmy Wilson.
How about Chuck Klein?
Chuck Klein, gee, how did I forget him? All those guys treated me just great. They didn't bash me as a rookie or anything like that. They were great.
And where'd you play ball? Where did the Phillies play ball? Did you play at Baker Bowl then?
In the old Baker Bowl, that's right.
So they hadn't moved into Shot Park yet?
No, not yet.
Tell us about Baker Bowl. That was a very unusual run.
Well, that was another one that had a short porch, like Ebbets Field, and had a high fence out there, and the fence was all solid tin. And they had a sign that said Life Boy, you know, the soap Life Boy right across, all the way out to right center. And was all thin and it was just pockmarked with many line drives at the fence. And the right field, just beyond the right field fence was North Broad Street, Philadelphia, one of the famous streets in Philadelphia. So none of us had cars in those days. We just took the subway out. We lived in a hotel about halfway out from center Philadelphia. And Honus Lobert, John Lobert, was one of our coaches. And Sil Johnson came over from the Cardinals with Wilson. And when the Cardinals came to Philadelphia to play, we were the cellar team there in those days. And they had the Dizzy Dean, Joe Medwick, and all those guys. And they would come into the clubhouse, especially the Paul and Dizzy Dean. And we would just listen to those stories that these guys told. And it was just so fabulous.
What kind of crowd showed up for the game?
No, I never paid attention, but I don't think they ever had more than 10 or 12,000. The Cardinals never wasted Dizzy Dean in Philadelphia. They saved him. They were on the way to play in New York, so they saved him for New York.
You mentioned there were several games you did remember.
I remember the game that I hit the home run off Hal Schumacher. A couple of days later, Cincinnati was in town, and there was another guy by the name of Peaches Davis. And I hit a home run off of him, and I thought, heck, I'm on my way now. But then they started pitching me outside. I couldn't pull the ball. I was a strict pull hitter. That's why they signed me up, because they thought I reminded him of Chuck Klein. You ever saw Klein? He had a sort of a sweep swing. He would just stand and hook the ball to right field all the time. And he was made to order for something else. Then I think if I had had any minor league experience, I would have stuck around longer. I was so green.
You were in the minor leagues for years, though.
Nobody taught us anything. We just played. No, there were no coaches.
No instruction.
Keep your eye on the ball, do this, do that. No, nothing like that. You had to do it on your own. And so you either struggled or you failed it on your own.
Who are some of the other players in the league you played against that made an impression on you?
Well, the Cubs had Gabby Hartnett, Bill Lee, Phil Cavaretta, and that's when I thought I had it made. Wilson put me up to pinch hit in the seventh inning of a game against the Cubs. The score was 2-1 or 3-2. We were behind one run, and he was on first base, and he sent me up to pinch hit against Bill Lee, and he hung a curveball about in my eyes, and I doubled the right field. And Wilson, who was built like a catcher and ran like a catcher, got thrown out of the plate. Well, that was one of my good games there. And I played in Cincinnati when Bill McKechnie was manager there, and the Cubs, Phillies, Giants. I played in the old ballpark there.
Polo Grounds,
yeah.
I guess you played against him a lot.
Yeah, he was in the lineup. I've got a box score too here somewhere that showed me. He was in the lineup that day, and I played at Evans Field. Although I didn't get to play very much, I had a lot of fun hitting home runs over the right field fence in batting practice because it was a nice short porch.
That was Bedford Avenue. Was that what?
I don't know what the name of the street was, but we used to take a subway out. I don't know how we got there, but all of a sudden, come out of the subway and there's Evans Field. Famous Dodgers stadium there.
So now, with Philadelphia, that 1938, that's the year you got your two homers.
Yeah.
But then you played for Baltimore later that year.
Well.
Was that a farm club of theirs?
I was with the Phillies until about the middle of August, and they weren't going anywhere, and I wasn't going anywhere, and they traded me to Baltimore for a guy by the name of Phil Weintraub.
No, he played for the Giants later?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same one, but anyway, He was left-handed there that couldn't run or anything like that. But anyway, they took him up there. Thought it was an even trade. They were tickled to get me in Baltimore because he was one of those guys that, if you want to use the word hustle, he didn't know it. And I prospered in Baltimore.
Yeah, you hit 300 that year.
Yeah, Bucky Cross was manager, and the following year, Rogers Hornsby came along as manager.
Of Baltimore.
Yeah, and he was the one that made a second baseman out of me.
Oh, yeah.
He had a baseball camp that he conducted every year in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So he said, he was the coach for Bucky Cross in Baltimore when I got there. So the following year, they fired Cross and Hornsby as manager. So he said, I'm having a baseball camp down in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Come on down there and I'll work you at second base and you could be one of my instructors. So I went down there to learn how to play second base, and then they had a bunch of kids trying, you know, had to pay a fee to come to the camp and all that. So I went down there, and then after the camp was over, the Orioles training site was at Daytona. And we went from Hot Springs to Daytona and had spring training there, and then we came north in Baltimore.
To nice place to spend the winter.
Oh, it was a wonderful place. I enjoyed it.
And what about Hornsby? I heard he was a very serious person, mind you.
Yeah, he was. And he was still young enough. He still wasn't any player anymore, but he was still young enough. But then I remember taking one of his bats and showing me something about a swing. And he could even make the bat swish through the air. You've heard of players that have a swing that sounds like a swish. He could do that because he was a wonderful hitter. I've seen pictures of him. Well, they still mention him. Some of the records now that are just being come close to, Hornsby was one of them.
Starting the 5-year period, I think he hit around 401 in that 5-year period.
Yeah.
So in 1940, you went back to Baltimore, and you're 302, and you played second base that year.
That's when I played second base.
Well, how did you feel about it? I mean, it's completely different positions, first and second. How did you?
Well, I was good at catching ground balls. And he said, well, why don't you play second base? You're a 300 hitter. Maybe you can go to the big leagues from here. And so I went to play second base, and I was lucky my first year at second base to have a shortstop by the name of Skeeter Newsom.
Oh, yeah.
He played with the A's. He came down to Baltimore. That was nothing in those days for players to go to AAA, because AAA was just a step below the majors. And I found out that the double play is made by the first guy with the ball. When he gives you the ball in time, you can make the double play. You don't get knocked in the left field by the guy coming down from the first field. I never got knocked down. So I was big that time. I was 195 pounds, so that's pretty. So I was big enough to be. Not in that these days with 6'5" shortstops playing around.
And the next year, was Hornsby was manager of Baltimore during the time you were there?
Yeah, well, then his coach, Hornsby moved on, and his coach, Tommy Thomas, was the manager the following year. And I stayed there through that year. And that was the year that they traded me to Newark Bears on the August 15th trading deadline. And I think when I left Baltimore, I was hitting about 275 or 278, and I wound up leading the league in hitting.
You hit 306.
Yeah, there were only
that
three
year guys. Anyway.
And there were only two or three hitters over 300.
That's right, it was the same league, so you
cracked. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Same league.
I was in Baltimore.
Yeah, you led the league, 306.
Yeah.
Who were some of those players on the New York team?
We had Joe Page who was pitching, and Robinson was catching, and Bill Johnson was playing, Tommy Holmes was in the outfield. And remember, he played for the Braves later and got a ton of hits. And Bill Page was one of the pitchers, as well as Joe Page. And some of the names just escaped me right now, but we won the pennant. was great to go from Baltimore, a second place team, to a third place team.
Eric, you went back to first base.
No, I played second at first base.
Yeah, but the next year, I'm sorry.
The following year, I went back to first because they needed first baseman.
Right. Now, you were at Newark 42, 43, well, 41 through 44.
Yeah.
Did they win the pennants every year?
Not except one year that they swapped players with Kansas City, and I left Newark and went to Kansas City. We were dragging along. That's why they made changes in the system. But we won the pennant the other years, yeah.
Who was the manager of the Newark team?
Johnny Noon was the manager when I got there, and Bill Meyer was the following year.
Kansas City was in the American Association.
That's right.
You played pretty much a whole 103 games that year.
Yeah.
269.
I think I went out there about the middle of June, somewhere in there.
That was the Yankee Farm Club at the time?
Kansas City? Oh. Yeah.
And then in 45, you went to St. Paul, back home again. Yeah.
Well, that was the year that all us younger guys, I was still in my early 30s, I was still eligible for the draft, and I had three kids.
Oh.
And so...
You tell the military draft.
Yeah.
Not the baseball
draft. Yeah. Military draft. They told me, he said, you better stay put, don't be going around too much. And they said, in St. Paul, he said, you better stay here, don't try to... So anyway, I stayed in St. Paul for the... till the war ended there, and then all of a sudden, they traded me to Sacramento.
Now, during this whole time, up to, say, 45, did you still live in Minnesota? I mean, in the off-season?
Oh, yeah. I lived in Minnesota in the off-season, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, in 46, you went to Sacramento.
That's right.
Which had completed all AAA leagues.
That's right. That was the other AAA league.
And who is the manager out there then?
Earl Shealy, the old first baseman. He used to play with the Red Sox. Right?
And any prominent players on that team?
They were all players that were over the hill. You know what I'm saying? That's when you were suing the majors, you'd go to the Coast League. That was the old retirees league. Al Smith was a pitcher there, Tony Fritas was a pitcher, and Casey Stengel was managing Oakland.
Oakland.
I guess they call it the Oaks in those days. Used to be just great. He was a fellow that would show up in the hotel lobby and players would just get around him and they'd tell stories by the hour. It was very entertaining.
Now, you played in all three AAA leagues.
Yeah.
Any noticeable differences?
Well, the Coast League was a live and let live league. I was playing first base one time and Alice Kamporis was the second baseman. And some guy came down to first base, and Alex said to him, hey, I got a sore ankle here, so don't come into me at second base. Take it easy on me. So he ran around halfway to right field. And that's what I say. Nobody tried to hurt anybody that day. Not everybody lived.
Then next year you went to Decatur in the 3I League as a manager. How did that come about?
When I finished the season in Sacramento, Dick Bartel was named the new manager at Sacramento. And I was working in sporting goods stores, selling bicycles.
Up in Minnesota?
Yeah, in Sacramento. The season ended, I got a job in a sporting goods store. I was working there one day when Ken Penner, the old right-handed pitcher, used to pitch around. He was a scout for the Cardinals. He walked in there one day and said, how would you like to be a manager in the Cardinals system? And I said, he said, if you can get your release from Sacramento, I'll sign you up for a job in the Cardinals farm system. So I went to the Solon, that they were not named at that time. And they gave me my release, and I signed with the Cardinals, and they signed me to Decatur, Illinois, first year, in 3I League.
3I League, yeah.
That's right. And that was a Class B league. Well, that was my first year managing. And it was very instructive because I didn't have much in the way of ball players. And I can't remember a single ball player that played with us. But that's when I had my trip to St. Louis. Was there when Jackie Robinson played that first game in St. Louis.
Okay. Can you tell us about the atmosphere and anything, if I remember anything special about the game?
That game?
Yeah.
I don't remember whether the Cardinals won it or lost it, to tell you the truth. But Robinson was the attraction. Everything happened. When the ball went, even the foul ball went up in the air, there was a big roar from the crowd. And so, he was a heck of a ball player, as we learned later on. Right from the start, you could see he was star material. He reminds me of his story about Branch Rickey. His statement, somebody said to him, "Well, how do you know a good ball player when you see one?" And he said, when you see a ball player that has ability, you can see the pleasing skills that differentiate him from the run-of-the-mill ball player. Just that sentence alone just says a heck of a lot. You see a guy like Rodriguez, shortstop for Seattle. Beautiful motion. And at the plate, it looks like every pitch to him in the game is like batting practice. He's never fooled by anything. You know, he just gets the hell out of everything. And those are the kind of guys, when you see a guy like that, that can do things like that, like when Mickey Mantle came up. He was so good at what he did that he stood out like a light.
Now, when you were managing, did you have any concerns that you could do the job, or you felt your experience had been enough playing?
Well, you had to consider the league that you were in and the class of ball.
Was that a Class C or D league, the 3I league?
The 3I league was the B league at that time, yeah. Well, just to give you an example, the season ended there, as usual, around Labor Day. And the Cardinals came to me and said, "Look, we're not going to continue in this Class B league next year. Here's a list of the other teams in the Cardinal system that you might be able to go and manage in." And they had Salisbury, Maryland, Hamilton, Ontario, and somewhere in Nevada. And I picked Salisbury because it was only 100 miles from Philly, from where my wife was from. And I'd heard all the players that came. We even got some players in Class B that year that didn't make it in Class D, so they sent them to me in Class B. But anyway, I heard Salisbury was a nice place to play. So I said, "Let's go to Salisbury." So we, after the season was over, we traveled to Salisbury, found a place to live that when I stayed in Salisbury that whole winter, before the season spring training started that following spring.
And you were a player manager?
Yes, in those days, minor leagues had a player limit. And Class D had a player limit was 15, and the manager included. We didn't have any coaches or anything like that. We had a manager. The manager was the coach and the bus driver most of the time.
Did you have any problems playing and managing at the same time, or did you play?
Not in Class D. You don't have any press, any media to bother with. You had to take care of the bats and the balls and the equipment with the iodine in it and the stuff, you know, like a doctor's bag. No, I didn't have any trouble with that part of it. So
I'm wondering, being a player manager, did you have any problem with the players? In other words, they listen to you? Normally players are considered something equal.
Well, when you're in the lower minors, you don't have much in the way of drinking problems. There are players that are going to party all the time. But I had sort of the rule that you show up the next day and play hard, you're going to be all right. So, other than that, I didn't have any rules or anything like that.
Now, as part of your job, did you have to report periodically on the players?
Yeah.
Some sort of report? Did you call in? Or
send a report, a typewritten report into St. Louis every once a week.
Was there a form that they provided you, or you more or less did?
No, they sent me a form. I filled it out, and I had to report on the players of the other teams. One year I was managing Allentown, and Willie Mays came along to play with Trenton. So I saw him play in some of his first games. It was an easy report to make. You talk about those pleasing skills I was telling you about? You can see that right from...